This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. This is what we're going to do. We're going to start with Fannie Mae, the government-owned mortgage company, as you know. Last time you thought of them, probably about the financial crisis, right, and the bailout they got. But here is a fresh context to consider: the debt limit and how Fannie's helping us all out there. They are going to pay a dividend to the Treasury Department, almost $60 billion, which will help ease the debt limit pain a little bit, which is good because it was set to go back into effect next week. We're going to get there and more with our weekly wrap of Wall Street and beyond. Felix Salmon from Reuters is in. Felix, where are you? Boston this week. Neela Richardson is from Bloomberg Government. She is in Washington, D.C. Hey, guys.
Hi, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
So, Felix, this is good news, right, that we don't have to worry about the debt limit now because between the sequester and Fannie Mae and less spending, we can, you know, kick it down the road till October, right? Good news?
Well, I mean, if you're going to have a big fight over the debt limit, is it better to have a fight in October than it is to have a fight in May? I have no idea.
I'm not asking the questions here, Felix. I don't know. Is it?
I think it's kind of impressive that this clever little accounting gimmick that Fannie Mae discovered about tax credits has turned into $60 billion of real money, which is going to the government. Yay, good for us. But the debt limit fight is absolutely certain to happen sooner or later and at some point this year.
Neela, are they in Washington just going, phew, and mopping their brow and saying, we don't have to deal with this for another 6 months?
You know, not only do they not have to deal with the debt ceiling, they don't have to deal with Fannie Mae. You know,
the company's now
profitable, and the calls for reform are much less frequent when the company is actually making the government money and putting off decisions for the government. It's a win-win all around.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. How can it be a win-win when we're going to have this conversation anyway? And what we've done is given Washington, Neela, another way to say, oh, we don't have to deal with this now. We're going to have to, as Felix said, we're going to have this conversation.
Exactly. It's a hard conversation to have either housing reform, what to do with Fannie Mae and its rival Freddie Mac, and what to do with the debt ceiling and government spending. We have been a conversation avoiders for the last several years, and there's nothing right now that's going to point to a conversation and more importantly, decision making.
Felix, are you confident at all that there will be a decision on the debt limit when we get there in October?
There will neither be a decision nor will there be any finality on what's going to happen to Fannie and Freddie, who, for all that they are actually making money right now, do need to shrink to a point of irrelevance while at the moment they're basically owning the entire mortgage market in the U.S. and no one is writing mortgages unless they can sell them to Fannie and Freddie. That's not healthy. We can't have the government underwriting every mortgage that everyone buys in America.
Right. And Kai, Felix is absolutely right about that. But meanwhile, where there's basically a standstill and no action, Wall Street is betting. And Wall Street's betting big that the companies will be returned basically to their former status. So Wall Street's taking a big risk here by buying up common stock and preferred stock of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And we'll see how long this lasts as well.
Speaking of Wall Street, Felix, Jamie Dimon, there's this move afoot. The meeting is in, what, like 10 days, the shareholder meeting, to strip him of that chairman title and make him only the CEO of JP Morgan Chase. A, do you care? And B, should the rest of us?
I care. I think this is huge. If it happens, and no one knows whether it will or not, it would be a real vote for genuine corporate governance in America and especially at America's biggest banks. But you know, it would also be tantamount to firing him since there's no way that he's going to stay on as CEO with some other chairman.
Neela, you think he'll just pack it in and take his toys and go home?
You know, I think he's going to keep both titles, at least under Jamie Dimon's chairman and CEO role. We know where the buck stops. We know who to point the fingers at when things go wrong. And there's no academic research that actually splitting these two positions actually improves board oversight. What you need is a good skill set on the board that is at par with Jamie Dimon's skill set.
What does it say, Felix?
There is actually academic research saying
right,
that it's
well, you know what?
A
we'll,
good
we'll,
idea.
I'll tell you what,
we can debate that offline
we'll
at any time.
But we have like a minute, Felix, and we'll try to cram this in there. I want to ask you what it means that we've gotten to the place in America where real financial corporate reform comes down to whether or not one guy keeps two jobs. Are you kidding me?
It's a bit pathetic, isn't it, really? But, you know, we've had genuine reform of the banks, you know, in visible ways through Dodd-Frank and in less visible ways through my favorite thing. You're going to love this guy, Basel III,
which
no one talks about, but it's really important.
This is the visible
stuff. And, yeah, you're right. It's not huge, but it would be great if it happened.
Felix Salmon from Reuters. He's in Boston today. Neela Richardson from Bloomberg Government. She was down in Washington, D.C. Thanks, you guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.
All right, we'll see you soon.